Looking for a place to eat that has a little something for everyone? Come to Route 1 Grill House in Saugus. The most mouth-watering dishes, such as their ribs, steak tips, seafood, and pizzas. Wash it down with their extensive martini list and large selection of draft beer. Route 1 Grill House has a private function room that accommodates up to 70 guests for any function. This is the spot for you and your friends as the weather gets warmer with their outdoor seating. Come on in to the family-owned Route 1 Grill House in Saugus, the perfect place to be.
B-Pod Studios.
These guys know how to connect with you about Boston sports.
This may feel strong, but you people are stupid.
OMG. It's Felger and Maz, 95 The Sports Hub.
All right, so re-entry Monday here on Felger and Maz. We're brought to you by East Boston Savings Bank here on Mondays. We are pretty much all NFL divisional weekend, except for just before we came on the air at about 1:55, bombshell report from Jeff Passan, which has now been confirmed by Major League Baseball itself, came down with the Houston Astros sign-stealing scandal. And the only reason it's such big news here is because Alex Cora is all over this thing. And so in Houston, A.J. Hinch, the manager, and the general manager, what's his name again?
Jeff Luhnow.
Both got a year suspension, a season, basically from today until the end of the season. So not quite a year, but called a season suspension, full season suspension, and the team was docked first and second round picks both this year and next, and $5 million if you care. Furthermore, in this report, Alex Cora is all over it, which has led Jeff Passan and Bob Nightingale, who've been doing the reporting on this story, to say that Alex Cora can expect at least what A.J. Hinch got, if not more. So you're looking at least a year without Alex Cora as the manager of the Boston Red Sox. What else are you coming across here on this report?
Okay, this feels like a good time to tell you, too, that Hot Takes brought to you by Rodenheiser Home Services. Go to rodenheiser.com to learn more. Okay, Rob Manfred's statement on this thing, 9 pages. Okay, the last two are specific discipline for the Astros, so throw that out. 7 pages. Page one, early in the season, Alex Cora, the Astros bench coach, began to call the replay review room on the replay phone to obtain the sign information. Page two. Cora arranged for a video room technician to install a monitor displaying the center field camera feed immediately outside of the Astros dugout. Still page two. Witnesses, listen to this one. Witnesses consistently describe this new scheme as player-driven and, with the exception of Cora, non-player staff, including individuals in the replay room, had no involvement in the banging scheme, the banging on the trash cans. So it was all players except for
Cora.
Page three. Actually, I'll skip that one because that one doesn't have a minute. Never mind. Okay, I'm going to page four. The 2017 scheme in which players banged on a trash can was, again, with the exception of Cora, player-driven and player-executed. The attempt by the Astros replay room staff to decode signs using the camera was originated and executed by lower-level baseball operations employees working in conjunction with Astros players and Cora. Because the club's, and then now I'm on page five, because the club's bench coach was an active participant in the scheme, and the club's manager was aware of the scheme and did nothing to stop it, I recognize that some players may have understood that their conduct was not only condoned by the club, but encouraged by it. Finally, page seven. Cora was involved in developing both the banging scheme and utilizing the replay review room to decode and transmit signals. Cora participated in both schemes and, through his active participation, implicitly condoned the player's conduct. I will withhold determining the appropriate level of discipline for Cora until after the Department of Investigation completes its investigation of the allegations that the Red Sox engaged in impermissible electronic sign stealing in 28 while Cora was the manager. He's all over this thing.
And this is coming for the Red Sox, too, this kind of report.
Correct.
This in-depth report where, you know, what happened, how it happened, who did what, when, how they did it, et cetera, et cetera. This is coming.
Correct. So, again, this is an Astros report. This is a report on the Astros penalties and said that Cora was in the middle of this thing and among uniformed personnel was really the architect of it. And there's a Red Sox report coming, and as you said, both Jeff Passan of ESPN and Bob Nightingale of USA Today are reporting that Cora's suspension will be worse.
Okay, before I go to the phones.
Ooh. You want an update to this?
Yes.
Yes.
Jeff Luhnow and AJ Hinch have been dismissed. They've been fired.
Wow.
So,
Cora might get cast.
Cora's going to get fired before this thing is over.
He might get fired.
Yeah, he might get fired.
Well, I'll ask you this. If he's suspended for a year and a half, if he's suspended more than a year, okay, if they're saying it's going to be worse than Hinch's, which so that means more than a season, which means a season and a half, a season in spring training, a season in a month, whatever, you're talking about two spring trainings, 2 years without the manager. He can't be your manager. So they have to go get a new manager. So I ask you, Maz, who's out there?
Oh, off the top of my head, like...
AJ Hinch.
I mean, really,
who's out there?
Not much. I mean, you know, especially this lake has any hot candidates. I don't even know what I've been so deep in football, I haven't given this any thought. This all just happened before we came on the air. My guess is that in the short term, they would just go with Renicke.
Scary.
Yeah, the choice is obvious. It's Jason Veritek. He's the next manager of the Boston Red Sox.
We're not taking those calls because that will be the first call.
What's your beef with Renicke from when he was with the Brewers?
Oh, he's a jittery
nervous
mess.
Nelly.
Oh, nervous Nelly. Mess.
I mean, he's up there, too. He's
might get
60s.
Suspended, too.
He's pitching coach, bench coach.
He's a bench coach. He might be suspended, too.
But what I'm saying is he's not a manager.
I don't know what you do. I have no idea. I'd have to think this out. The idea that they would be out without Cora for the year or that he would get fired never even crossed my radar. And so I've given it zero thought. I couldn't even begin to guess.
Okay. They might need a new manager starting now. And I just shudder to think what this, you know, kid Ivy League nerd is going to come back with. Someone we never heard was going to bore the boobs off of us. Is what it's going to be.
I mean, I don't know if he can do it at this stage. It's probably too late. Would you try to like trade for Kevin Cash or the Rays? Have Bloom go get Cash out of Tampa and bring him to Boston? I'd be all right with that.
Is it that important?
I mean, I want a good manager.
Pitchers and catchers, when do they report? Like the promo, when do they report, Boston?
12th.
So
I know that.
Yeah. So we're a month away, and you're not going to have a manager. You've got, it's either Ron Renicke or you got to bring someone else in.
Wow, what a blockbuster okay. This thing is.
So there's that and all the football stuff. Chris and Avon, your thought about Cora.
Hey, what's going on, guys? So obviously, I mean, after seeing what happened to the Astros, I mean, Cora's about to get smoked. But I know you guys said you don't want to hear about, like, the whole Veritek thing. And I agree, Veritek's kind of a clown. But, I mean, how would you feel about putting Joya in some sort of a managerial role?
Okay, you know, this is the trend. Normally, I would say Dustin Pedroia hasn't managed T-ball. But how many managers now are getting these jobs without one lick of experience? Aaron Boone.
Rocco Baldelli.
Kapler, who did have some. He did manage in the minor leagues a little bit. But like some of these ex-players are just being handed jobs.
David Ross, another one.
From the TV booth, for crying out loud. So that's sort of the trend.
Absolutely, yeah. So again, you know, where would they turn? I don't know.
Yeah, Poppy.
Eck, you know, like, this is what they've been doing.
Make it be Eck and make Price stay.
I could never do it in a million years.
Anthony and Waltham. Go ahead, Anthony.
Hey, so I understand the Cora thing, but how did Bill not get suspended for Spygate after looking at what Cora and Hinch are? And if the Red Sox World Series is tainted, then the first three Patriots Super Bowls are tainted along with 2014 with the Flategate. What's your take?
I'd go a little strong on that, but I think people in the league would say, yeah, Bill should have been suspended. Yeah. Why do you think Roger Goodell came back with the Flategate and boned you because of all the pushback he got for not suspending Bill in Spygate? So the league would agree with that first take.
I mean, he should, you know, the Patriots got lucky there. They did. They got lucky.
With Spygate.
Absolutely.
Here's Adam in Seabrook, his thoughts on Alex Cora and what's coming for him. Hi, Adam.
Hey, what's happening? Hey, Cora was the kingpin in manipulating two World Series championships for two different teams.
You know, if Pete Rose has been banned for life for gambling, Cora needs to be banned for life because his actions, I think, were at least just as damaging. What do you guys think?
No, I would not compare it to Pete Rose, who was throwing games. And we can debate that all day long if you want, but when he burns out his pitching staff in a games that he bets and leaves his team high and dry the next night when he's not betting, that's essentially throwing games.
Yeah, but banned for life, that's harsh.
Oh, so what I'm saying is I think Pete Rose, I'm a big believer in Pete Rose, deserves to be banned for life. Pete Rose should never be in the Hall of Fame. I think those gambling scandals are the height, or is the true worst of the worst nuclear option. I'm on that side of that fence. I don't think this rises to that.
No, I don't either.
I mean,
no.
he's trying to help his team win. He's not throwing these games. He's not, you know, disrupting the competitive balance. I mean, he is, but for his team, Pete Rose, you know, depending on what night, he wasn't putting his best effort into having the Reds win that game. That's massive difference.
I mean, then do you start going after steroid guys, too?
No. But the punishment, no one saw these punishments coming for the effect that they ended up taking today. For a year, no one thought that was going to happen, and no one thought that Cora was going to get whacked for more than a year. Baseball is telling you this is a significant problem. They're looking at two World Series championship teams. I know I've had my fun with this, but they're saying, in effect, they cheated the Astros in the year they won it, and so did the Red Sox the following year. These punishments are insane. No one thought these guys were going to get whacked for a year each, and it sounds like more for Cora. I mean,
if Cora gets 2 years?
I'll tell you what, even if he doesn't at this stage, haven't the Astros just set the standard?
He's done.
In other words, Jim Crane, the Astros owner, just fired the GM and the manager. What are the Red Sox? And the penalty for Cora is going to be worse.
He's done.
What's Henry going to do? Keep him?
Henry, there's a new GM. You don't think the new GM, as good as Cora has been or whatever, like GMs always want their own guy. New GM wants his own manager. He's done.
Yeah. Henry can't allow it, though, either, Mike. The other owner just got rid of both. Like, so Henry, if Henry does anything short of that now, he looks weak.
And when is this going to come down? Because, again, pitchers and catchers in a month. And it took baseball, what, 2-3 months to get this Astros thing done, this full report. And so, I mean, do the Red Sox have to act, you know, proactively? And they start packing up the truck here in a few weeks.
Yeah, Cora's screwed. Cora is screwed with a capital S.
Tony and Stoneham, your thoughts.
Hey, I gotta bring up Brady, baby. First on this thing, what the hell is wrong with managers and players trying to steal signs? Get better signs. That's how I look at this. There should be no penalty on any of this stuff.
No, Tony, you can't use cameras and you can't use electronics, and it's a huge problem. My big issue is the pace of play, how this has ground the game to a halt. And everyone's stepping off and changing signs and pitchers running out and resetting signs. And this whole thing is just, it's contributed to just grinding the game to a halt. And it's the worst in the playoffs and every pitch matters. It's why these playoff games, they're all 4 hours now. All 4 hours. I think that's my issue as much as anything. And so get rid of all of it. Get rid of all of it and put an earpiece in the pitcher's ear. You know, we figured, you know, we talked about all this last week with all the crazy technology ideas they're coming up with, but I'm in favor of it. So, and I'm in favor, you know, this is a good way to end it too. Because what manager is going to do this now? What manager is going to do this now? If any manager does this and gets caught, he's suspended a year and fired by his team.
See, this is why I felt like they had to put names to it. Because, again, you come down hard on a manager. All of a sudden, there's something going on behind the scenes. He comes in and goes, hey, fellas, what are you trying to get me fired? Is that what you're trying to do? Cut the crap. You guys won't get any penalty here. I will. So what are you trying to do? You trying to screw me over? Is that what we're doing here? Manfred did this right. Maybe even too harsh. But even so, I'd rather have that than the typical mamby-pamby type of discipline that they hand out all the time. Not to use a Jim Gray term on you. But like, you know, Cora's toast. He's toast. Forget 2020. He's out. And based on what happened in Houston, Henry's going to fire him.
Said, Cora's done.
It's the most exciting baseball's been in years.
I think he's done. It finally gave us something to talk about. And we'll talk about it all day, along with your reaction to divisional weekend across the NFL. Ask you a question coming back on the other side. Do you consider Mike Vrabel part of the Belichick coaching tree? I'll give you my answer right after this.
Boston's home for sports. 98.5 The Sports.
Looking for a place to eat that has a little something for everyone? Come to Route 1 Grillhouse in Saugus. The most mouth-watering dishes, such as their ribs, steak tips, seafood, and pizzas. Wash it down with their extensive martini list and large selection of draft beer. Route 1 Grillhouse has a private function room that accommodates up to 70 guests for any function. This is the spot for you and your friends as the weather gets warmer with their outdoor seating. Come on in to the family-owned Route 1 Grillhouse in Saugus, the perfect place to be.
playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Fred and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sports book.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Always have to be ha ha hee hee.
Oh, love it.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
I think for those of us that have been around this league long enough, I think that's kind of overrated, the underdog thing. And, you know, it's pro football. You know, everybody gets paid, everybody has a job to do. You know, we knew we were going to get on a plane a few weeks ago, and as long as we kept winning, we were going to keep getting on that plane. And we're going to do the same thing this week. We're going to continue to improve, not let complacency sit in, and not be excited about, you know, winning whatever this was. I don't even know. We're going to play in the AFC Championship game. But we have to continue to improve. And you heard me say it, the teams that do that, they keep playing. And the ones that don't, they make off-season plans.
Freaking Vrabel. Is this the first member of the Belichick coaching tree to finally do something? Okay, so he's clearly done something, and he's the first one to do anything. But let me ask you about the first part. Is he part of the Belichick coaching tree?
No. I say no. I'm with Christian Arcand on this. He's been, I know, hammering this for a while. I say no. I think if you're going to be labeled a coach from the Belichick coaching tree, you actually have to have been labeled a coach under Belichick. Vrabel was a player. He never became management. Once you're management, your thought process is different. Your morals a little bit become corrupted. You think differently once you are a coach. You're no longer a player. And I know he ultimately became a coach in Ohio State, and he was under Bill O'Brien in Houston, but it was different. I don't look at him as a guy under the Belichick coaching tree. I don't.
I say no, because I think this approach with Vrabel has more to do with who he is than who he learned under. In other words, you know, I think it's his makeup to do things the way he's doing it, be in teams' faces, that sort of stuff. I say no, absolutely no.
Nope, you don't get credit for it. Nope, he is not from the Belichick coaching tree. No, no, no. In fact, I'd even take it a step further, because, you know, I covered him when he came to the team, and I was pretty familiar with him when he was a player on this team. He was his own guy when he got here. He was his own guy when he left. He was his own guy when he went to Ohio State and then Houston. He's been his own guy. You didn't make him. You did not make Mike Vrabel. In fact, here's what I will say. He helped make you more than you helped make him. He helped give you that identity in that first part of that run and was part of that great early 2000 Patriots team that, you know, unlike this one, had personality and this sort of independence and, you know, not just sort of under Belichick's thumb, which isn't a bad thing because obviously, you know, they won at a high level with that thing too. But he was part of that team. There were members of that early 2000s team that made the Patriots more than the Patriots made them. Do you understand what I mean by
Absolutely.
This?
Absolutely.
Yeah, for sure.
The Patriots have made Kyle Van Noy. Sorry. He's a nobody without the Patriots. Guys like Vrabel and McGinnis and Law and Harrison, those guys helped make the Patriots. So, no. You don't get credit for Mike Vrabel as part of the coaching tree. In fact, you should thank him for help getting the thing started in the early 2000s.
I'd include Seymour on that list, too. And
sure.
In fact, because those are guys, I think, who had
strong personalities.
Will. Yeah, will.
And didn't just take it from Bill. And again, I'm not telling you that that's so wrong. But I think in the early part of it, it was different. When they were forging the thing and they were establishing what they were, those players, you owe those players more than they owe you. And I think that gets lost. I think in the second half, it's a little different when the program was really established and Bill won with so many different combinations of guys. And, you know, I think Malcolm Butler owes the Patriots for what he is. And, you know, I mean, I'll give you a million guys like that, that owe the Trey Flowers and da-da-da all the way down the line. Those guys owe the Patriots more than we owe them. Not guys like Vrabel, just the opposite. So, you know, he doesn't act like Bill. He doesn't talk like Bill. You know, it's totally, he was his own guy. I don't give him credit. You know who's part of Belichick's coaching tree? Bill O'Brien. That's who's part of Belichick's coaching tree.
And I'll tell you, Romeo Crennel.
Yeah, I, the other thing is, I give Tennessee tons of credit for some of their game planning stuff. They've made some great decisions in these couple of games. They went into Baltimore. You know what they did? They took the tight ends out. They took them out. So now where are you going to throw? And all of a sudden now Lamar Jackson is like freaking duck hunting season in Baltimore. Did you see those balls?
Some of them. You know what? I thought he played well, though. Like, I don't think that was – I think Lamar Jackson, like the rest of that Ravens team, got ahead of themselves and maybe lacked the maturity or something, some intangible.
So the maturity part, I think that was the biggest red flag for me in his game on Saturday night. Did you see his body language?
Oh, yes.
Back to the bench bitching. Like, that's the one thing I was like, ooh, I know he's only 23, and I still think he's going to be a stud in this league, but that I thought was a bad sign.
Absolutely. But I still thought he made plays.
Yeah, I do. Same.
There were some ducks, no question about it, but there were also some throws where I went, wait. You know, and he suffered from drops more than anyone. I mean, first interception shouldn't have been an interception.
True, but I'm telling you, I don't remember the ball being that ugly in the other games.
No, he had a couple where that nosedive.
I mean, they were like, I would say like every other pass at one point when Tennessee was opening up that game, I went, holy crap. Like it felt like he was unraveling on the field.
So I would say the jury is still out on that type of quarterback. That the quarterback that is, you know, that relies more on athleticism than pocket passing, more running than throwing. And I think the jury, that guy has still not gone all the way, has still not taken a team to a championship. And hell, this time it didn't even get out of the divisional round. So, you know, and that's, you know, again, I think Lamar Jackson is a step beyond Russell Wilson, who I think wants to run around to throw. Jackson is run around and, you know, take it to the house and run for 100 yards.
Oh, yeah, no question.
So, the, you know, that guy, the Michael Vick, Lamar Jackson, you know, that type of quarterback still hasn't done it.
No.
Let's see.
Yeah, I mean, look, it's one of the first things that crossed my mind while that thing was happening on Saturday night. And the other thing Tennessee did really well in this game, with one, maybe two exceptions, when he did start to run, they just strung him out. They ran him to the sideline, right? They had enough guys out there where he couldn't turn it up. And that, again, that's a game planning thing. That's like, this is how we're going to do it. And I thought Tennessee nailed it
so
in that game.
Tennessee's pulling a 2001 Patriots, if you want, you know, winning on coaching and game planning and running and, you know, things other than just, like, you know, Tannehill's thrown for under 100 yards each of the last 2 weeks. Bill Joel, Ryan Tannehill, he's been superfluous.
He had one big one in that game, though.
He did. He had one big one in that one and a couple against you. So just when you need it. All right, anyway, back to your phones. This and the chorus stuff. George and Methuen on Jimmy Garoppolo. Go ahead, George.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
Mike and Tony. Big Jim, right? On Jimmy G, real quick, right? 14 intos, including the one in the playoffs. He's 35 for 39, 402 yards, 2 touchdowns.
Yeah,
and he's lost only one game out of those games that he threw the intro. Not too bad, huh?
Yeah. No, and I'll be rooting against him next week and probably the following couple of weeks when they play in the Super Bowl.
Okay, but you have to admit, when they've needed him to throw, he's thrown. I mean, when they went into New Orleans and they needed to...
He was good in that game, yep.
Yeah, they scored 48 points. He completed 75% of his passes for 350 yards and 4 touchdowns. So they needed him in that game, and he produced in that game against the Rams at the end of the year. They put 34 points on the board. He completed 60% of his passes. He did throw 2 picks in that game, but if you remember, late in that game, he completed 3rd and 16 multiple times.
Against a hobbled Jalen Ramsey, who was playing on one leg. So he's got put up good numbers, and it's all great. But
it's not just that. It's there's games when they needed him to be more than a passenger, and he led them.
Yeah, put him
in. That New Orleans game is a massive one because that affected the whole seeding in that conference.
Why do you ignore those games other than just about it?
He's been good in some of those games. But when I need to see him when they're down six. I need them to be down six in a big game.
New Orleans.
Well,
they were down multiple times in that game. They were down the entire first half, and he kept bringing them back.
Regular season game, though. Let's see it in the postseason.
Okay. You keep moving the goalposts there, Tonto.
I get to do that. You guys do it constantly.
Here comes Tonto's update, the very latest on the cheating scandals in baseball and how it reflects on the Red Sox. Major breaking news this afternoon. Murray will give it to you right here. We come back and react to this and other items. Oh, what mess?
Yep, just a reminder,
too. And also, we're presented by East Boston Savings Bank today, right?
Yep, Reentry Monday presented by East Boston Savings Bank. If maybe you're looking to finance a home mortgage, commercial real estate property, or maybe you're just looking for a simple free checking account, visit ebsb.com. East Boston Savings Bank, getting it done since 1848. Here's Murray.
Looking for a place to eat that has a little something for everyone? Come to Route 1 Grillhouse in Saugus. The most mouth-watering dishes, such as their ribs, steak tips, seafood, and pizzas. Wash it down with their extensive martini list and large selection of draft beer. Route 1 Grillhouse has a private function room that accommodates up to 70 guests for any function. This is the spot for you and your friends as the weather gets warmer with their outdoor seating. Come on in to the family-owned Route 1 Grillhouse in Saugus, the perfect place to be.
Playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Fred and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sports book.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Sometimes they're hot on the topic.
Yes!
No!
Yes!
No!
Yes!
Felger and Maz, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Reaction to Divisional Weekend and Alex Cora, who, according to reports, will be suspended at least a year. And to me, the real bombshell news today, among all the pieces of bombshell news, that Hinch and the Astros general manager were not just suspended for a season by Major League Baseball, they were then fired by the Astros, which puts John Henry on the spot.
Big time.
So those guys, which, you know, and again, the report on the Astros, it has Cora all over it. Basically, Cora takes the fall for the whole thing. He's the one that the commissioner's report blames for it. In fact, they say that Hinch tried to get in the way of it a couple times, but the players and Cora kept reinstalling the camera or the monitors and kept doing it. So the commissioner's report really goes after Cora in the Astros report, and they haven't even gotten to you and your thing yet. So the reports are that Cora's going to get it worse than Hinch. So if Hinch gets a season and the Astros fire him, and Cora gets a year and a half or 2 years or a year plus, and Henry doesn't, how does Henry look?
Yeah, he looks weak is how he looks.
So to me, the bombshell piece of news today is that the Astros then fired Hinch and the GM, which means Cora is done, which means you need a manager. And pitchers and catchers report in a month. So to me, that's where I've jumped to.
And if they get whacked, so if the team also gets whacked draft picks, does that make it easier or the excuse then to push Mookie Betts out via trade? That's the other thing you got to think about here, too, because the Astros also lost, draft picks this year and in 2021.
I don't get why that doesn't.
Meaning that.
Because you need to recoup them?
Correct.
So then you don't want to trade them because you can't trade for picks. You only get picks back if you lose them in free agency.
Right. You have to trade for prospects.
You have to trade for prospects, not picks. But so do you, in essence, replace the first round, the picks, with the prospects you would get back from Betts? It's probably related in some way.
I mean, the Red Sox suddenly feel like a mess. Like, you know, John Henry made some comments at the end of last week, too, to Shaughnessy about how I never said that we had to get under the luxury tax, which tells me they can't move the money.
Well, that's a secondary story at this juncture. They need a manager. Andrew in Taunton. Hi, Andrew.
Mike, I'm going to save you a lot of headache phone calls. The manager for the Red Sox this year is 100% going to be Ron Renicki. I think in the long term, you know, 2021, Bloom will probably bring somebody who came up through the Rays organization, but He's not going to set somebody he likes up for failure by giving him maybe 3 weeks to get ready for this season.
Okay, so I'm not sure you're setting him up for failure. The American League still blows. Talent-wise, roster-wise, you're still a top-five team in the league, if not top-three team in the league. And so I don't think you're setting anyone up for failure whatsoever. This is baseball. But be that as it may, they still have to do something. Like, we were just banning around names. Like, it'd be fun if, you know, Bruce Bochy, that'd be fun. Jim Leland, that'd be fun, except maybe he's too far removed. If La Russa were still around, bring him downstairs. That'd be fun. Like, just fun names that we can kick around as fans. You know that's not what he's going to do.
No, look, and I think that this thing, if it goes the way it looks like it could go, which means that Cora gets A, suspended, and B, fired. Like, he's tapped into a few guys on that team that have turned their careers in a positive direction.
Maybe we know why now.
Okay, but Eddie Rodriguez, too.
They know when the off-speed's coming.
Right? So, yeah. But one of them's a pitcher.
No, you're right.
I just look at it and say, he got through to some of these young guys. It's one thing to fire a manager when everyone tunes him out. You get some players on that team that are going to be pissed. This thing's going to get ugly.
Dana in Rhode Island, go ahead.
Hey, guys, how are you? Mike started to touch on what I was thinking, that Cora could actually get banned for life for this because he's going to get double tapped. What's going to fall out right now is the stuff about the Houston issue, but then he still has the whole Boston issue to contend with. So he could literally truly be gone for the rest of his life. Thoughts?
So I just feel that would stun me.
He's not going to get a lifetime ban. He's not. I mean, but again, according to Nightingale and Jeff Passan of ESPN, it's going to be more harsh than what Hinch got. And Hinch got a season.
And Hinch got fired. That's to me the story. And he got fired. So if the Houston owner fires Hinch for a year, what's the Boston owner going to do if Cora gets two? How does Henry look if he doesn't follow through like the Houston ownership followed through? They've put Henry in a spot where he almost has to do it. We've got Jerry in Connecticut holding on some football stuff from the weekend. Hi, Jerry.
Hey, man. Love your show, guys. Hey, and Murray can crow about Garoppolo if he wants to. I mean, he's been consistent about his complaining about him. So, anyways, my question is talking about the Ravens and their loss and the Patriots and their losses, which do you think was worse, the way the Patriots went out or the way the Ravens went out? And for whatever you want to say about Lamar Jackson, I thought he was pretty classy at the podium after the loss. So, anyway, thanks.
Okay, so after the game, maybe he was fine. I think during the game, I think he showed his inexperience and his youth. And
a lot of bitchiness.
Yeah, for sure. What was the worst loss? The Patriots lost to the Titans or the Ravens lost to the Titans?
I think the Ravens.
The Ravens!
Yeah, but why are we eliminating Miami? Why are we eliminating the Miami game? That was the one that really did them in. Losing at home to Miami.
Okay, fine. That's the worst of all. But the Ravens losing was worse than the Patriots losing. The Patriots are closer to the Titans than the Ravens. And the Ravens had 2 weeks, that bye team. I don't want to hear this thing about Russ setting in and blah, blah, blah. Do you know what a massive advantage that bye is? What a grotesque, massive advantage. Did you see Minnesota in the second half of that game of San Francisco? They wilted. Why? Because they had to play the Sunday the week before, fly home, then fly out west and play a 1 o'clock start on the West Coast on Saturday after playing a nuts and bolts down to the wire overtime Sunday game the week before. They were cooked. Massive advantage for San Francisco. Massive advantage for Green Bay last night. Getting to play in 10 degree weather after Seattle flies all the way east, then all the way home, then all the way back in 6-7 days. Huge advantage. Any team, you don't get to use the rust excuse. The little bit of rust you might feel, it pales in comparison to the massive advantage you get of being one of those bye teams. Which is why, Murray, I still say, if the Pats are taking care of business against Miami, you have a right to look at that weekend and say, damn, they missed on one. They missed a chance to watch all these other AFC East crappy teams puke on themselves and just sit there and watch it happen, which is what happens so often.
But I give the Chiefs and Titans more credit. Those are damn good teams. And it was just delaying the inevitable. Even if you didn't play Wild Card Weekend and you hosted this weekend, you would have lost to one of these teams. They weren't that good. They deserved to lose to Miami. They deserved to lose to the Titans the following week. They deserved to be home this past weekend.
What an opportunity they missed, though. They could be hosting. hosting the AFC Championship game.
Blew it.
Baltimore was ripe.
Patriots
they were ripe.
Should have had number 7 this year. No, they shouldn't have. They weren't that good. Their 12-4 record was fake.
I never said anything about number 7.
Yeah, but by saying that, you are.
No, I'm not. I'm just saying they missed the opportunity. They'd lose to San Francisco if they played him anyway.
I expected better.
The Niners have the better quarterback.
wasn't surprised when I was getting texted by McCarthy yesterday, like, oh, the Pats blew it. And I see all of social media like, oh, what a blown opportunity. And then I see one Tony Maserati with the blue check mark saying the same damn thing yesterday. And the disappointment that came over me. I was like, him too? Ugh.
Don't be fooled by the blue check mark. It's a fraud account. Okay, long commercial-free segment is next. Tom Brady spoke over the weekend about his future. We'll dive into that along with everything else right after these words.
Looking for a place to eat that has a little something for everyone? Come to Route 1 Grillhouse in Saugus. The most mouth-watering dishes, such as their ribs, steak tips, seafood, and pizzas. Wash it down with their extensive martini list and large selection of draft beer. Route 1 Grillhouse has a private function room that accommodates up to 70 guests for any function. This is the spot for you and your friends as the weather gets warmer with their outdoor seating. Come on in to the family-owned Route 1 Grillhouse in Saugus, the perfect place to be.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every single game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. It's guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Stewart and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Felger and Mass.
Oh.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
So are you saying definitively, Tommy, that you will play football next season?
Yeah, absolutely. That's my plan. And, you know, I think every year that goes by, you know, I just feel grateful to still be doing what I really love to do. And I've been so blessed to find a career I love with the best teammates who go to battle with me, incredible organization that I said believes in me, and for the best fans in the country who have always been behind us. So, you know, I really love football, and hopefully I just can continue to do what I love to do.
So Brady still did his Jim Gray thing this weekend and reiterates again that he wants to play, but he keeps throwing the hopefully thing in there. Do you read into that at all?
My guess is that it has to do with the Patriots coming through and giving him the kind of offer that would inspire him to come back.
Because he's precluded or he has determined that he's not going to play anywhere else?
I mean, that's what it sounds like. Yeah, again, at the beginning, the whole hopefully thing when he said, you know, I'm hopefully, however he phrased it,
yep.
Okay, that pretty unlikely, hopefully unlikely. That, to me, I started to wonder whether he was just playing some sort of game there. But then after Gasper came in on Friday, Chris Gasper, the Globe, and indicated that Tom Brady's preference and number one objective is to still play in Foxborough, I think Brady's has his fingers crossed that the Patriots come through. That, you know, Kraft somehow comes to the rescue, or that's what he's hoping for. And if he doesn't get that, maybe he just packs it in.
Do you have any developing opinions on the Brady story?
I mean, I would say, you know, overall, from my standpoint, I still think the best thing is that they just part ways. I think him coming back here to play another year, whether it's under a one-year deal or a two-year deal, is irrelevant to me. I think they've reached the point where it's time. It's time. It's time to just break off, move forward, turn the page, and start building the next phase. I think they are there. And if Kraft gets suckered into it and gives him a two-year deal, or Brady takes less, I mean, if Brady takes less, I don't know that there's any way the football operation can prevent that other than to not make him an offer at all. But I don't think it's I think it can only get worse. I don't think it can get better at this stage. That's what I'm worried about, and I don't want it to get worse.
How about Josh McDaniels being passed over for one more job or not taking one more job? Does that, you know, that's got to make it more likely for Brady to come back.
I would think so.
I mean, not that that's the determining factor.
But for continuity's sake, comfort level.
Familiarity, yeah. Right. Yeah.
Hell yeah. If there was a new offensive coordinator here, I think that would hurt your chances. If you want him back, if that was going to happen, I think it would hurt the chances of him returning if there was a new OC. And he'd have to break in a new coach, too. He'd be like, forget this. You know, so I think that's one, if you want him back, that's one, you know, one thing in your favor. So, you know, Gray asked all the questions and Brady gave you some answers. So we'll skip number two. Gray asked him, you know, in your Instagram post, you said there's still something to prove. And he asked him, what do you have to prove? And Brady gave a generic answer about, well, there's a lot of people doing a lot of great things at a really old age. And I'd like to do the equivalent in football. I'd like to be that guy. So
to push the human limits.
What he has to prove is that he can still play at a high level at 43, 44, 45. So that was that Q&A.
Sounds like you just watched Free Solo or something. But anyway, go ahead.
Give me number three, Jimmy.
You will be a free agent in mid-March. Up until that time, you can only speak to the Patriots. Are you right now negotiating with the Patriots?
So stop
the
right there.
Contract things, I think.
Good question.
Excellent question.
Good question. I would give Gray a lot of crap, but that's a straightforward, and that's an important question. Have you started the negotiations? That would really tell us a lot. Are they talking? Even if they're talking, that would tell me that the chances of him coming back, that the Patriots are even entertaining the thing, and they're swapping numbers. You know, are you negotiating? That's a good question. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
The contract things, I think a week after the season, I would say these things haven't even started to pick up. So that's really not my concern at this point. It's been about decompressing and resting my mind a little bit and resting my body and spending time with the people who have supported me over the last 6 months.
So he's saying it hasn't even started to pick up yet.
I believe him. I just think it's too soon. So, you know, that you need a couple of weeks from it before you can even think about that kind of crap again.
But still, the Gasper stuff on Friday had me wondering, you know, that he's softening his stance. The team, you know, that dead money charge wouldn't preclude them from, it felt like there's been talking here, and, you know, they've arrived at certain, you know, they've all taken a little step down the road because I would have assumed they've talked, but Brady makes it sound like those things haven't even started up yet.
Maybe they've been there for a little while and they just haven't told us or leaked it out. You know what I mean?
But I mean, I do think the things has to start now because it is much better for the Patriots contract wise to get them before the 18th. Which means they're going to have to talk to him before the 18th. And I would think that for everyone to get a fair market and a fair gauge of what's going on out there, he'd have to figure out what the market is. But he technically can't do that until the 18th. I wonder, and I wonder if this is legal. And this is what I thought about this over the weekend. What the Patriots should do is say, we grant you permission to talk to other teams. I think you're allowed to do that.
I think that if there is permission granted, you can do it.
I think so, right? Well, because when you're looking to trade someone and the opposing team wants to know if they can re-sign the player to a long-term contract, thus you would get more in return, you grant that team permission to speak to their agents on an extension.
Correct.
So couldn't you do the same thing with Brady? And this is what I would do. Don't wait for the 18th to say, go find out what's out there. We grant you permission right now to talk to whoever you want to talk to about future contracts and then come back to us.
Maybe they will, or maybe they have.
I mean, that's what I would do. I've never heard of that being granted.
Unless Brady doesn't really want to go to market.
Well, but just to find out what he's worth. Just to find out how putrid the Patriots offer really is. You know, if he finds out, yeah, the Chargers will give you $30 million, and Bill says here's 15 plus incentives, Brady knows. Not that he ever intends to take the Charger thing, but you can go to find out. So that's what I would do. I would grant him permission right now. Give me number four, Jimmy. Please. Jim Gray,
the owner of the organization, Bob Kraft, said earlier this week that it was his hope and prayer that you stayed with the Patriots or that you retire. Tom, you're the only one that can make that determination. You're the guy who can answer his hopes and his prayers. When will you make that determination?
Well, I think, like I said, I love playing football and I've loved playing for this organization. So I really don't know what it looks like moving forward, and I'm just taking it day to day. So we're a week removed from the end of our season. There's a lot of time to figure these things out. I don't think any player or team is ready to make any commitments at this point. And I'm sure as the offseason progresses, you know, those things will take care of themselves.
Okay, so not an answer on that one. So, you know, Maz, I'm with you. I'm from where I sit, ready for the next chapter. I understand if fans aren't. I totally get if fans aren't. To me, I think the question is, what's best for the team, short term and long? And if they can get Brady for a total song, You know, Bedard wrote something on Friday. We didn't get to it last Friday, that the Patriots may not be ready to go to Stidham next year. And I'm summing that up pretty good. He put that in different words, but basically said that they
need a stopgap.
Well, that they view Stidham now as they do Jimmy Garoppolo at this stage, which is in year two he wasn't quite ready. Year three, year four, ready, but at year two we don't quite see it yet. And Bedard wrote that he thinks the team sees Stidham in the same boat, which is they like him, good prospect, good start to his career. But can he be a starter in year two? They don't necessarily think so. Which means now you are going to bring in a stopgap? Now you are looking at the Andy Daltons or the Eli Mannings or, I don't know, whoever you want to mention? You know, those guys of the world? Well, if you're going to do that, then why not have the stopgap be Brady? Like, I don't want Eli Manning over Brady. I want him if Brady's a San Diego Charger, and now they need a stopgap, and then, okay, let's talk about the veteran names that are out there.
What if it takes a 2-year commitment to do it?
With
guaranteed money.
With Brady?
Yeah.
See, now I'm back to what's best for the team. I don't think that's best for the team.
Agreed.
It's not.
So this is the rub, right?
Overpaying them or overcommitting to them is not right either. They're on the verge of, they need the next chapter. They need to turn the page. The question is just how you execute it. But if you go too deep with Brady, you hurt the page turning. And so I'm really careful with that.
Although, you know what? Ben Volen raised an interesting point, I thought, over the weekend, too, which is to say that the CBA is up in a year and then the TV deal's up in two.
Yeah, you can backload the crap out of this stuff.
So by then, you know, maybe they could give Brady a 2-year deal and get away with it.
Give him a 3-year deal and put it all in the third year. But
exactly.
The time he's in Costa Rica, you have all this dead money on it. But even if it's 20, 30 million, the caps have gone up 20-30%. And so you can absorb it. Yes. Yeah,
I don't like the idea of giving Brady more than a year. If you're telling me they need a stopgap and it's Brady or Andy Dalton, I'll take Brady.
Right.
But if it takes that second year, my answer is no. And then again, this comes back to that whole moment of truth. Will Robert Kraft guarantee the second year in full, or will Tom Brady play for a year?
To me, the bigger thing is even beyond the money and the contract, and certainly they can figure out all those cap implications. That's the easiest. The cap is the easiest part of it. That's the easiest part of this whole thing. To me, is the first thing you said. Brady's shown less commitment to the team by the year. They've shown less commitment to him by the year. The receiving core is going to be new to him. Whether they're young kids or old guys, he's going to have to break them in. He's not going to like the contract. Like, that is just, it's just degrees of how much he hates it. Okay? They're not going to give him what he wants.
It's going to get worse.
We know this. So it's only, does he hate it or does he absolutely despise it? It's going to be somewhere in that range. So he's still not going to like his contract. He's still not going to like the weapons. He's still not going to like what he's surrounded by. And so we're just going to continue what's happened here the last couple of years, which is sort of this really slow little spiral downward. I don't know why anyone wants that. So that, to me, that's the biggest thing. All right, so there's your updated Brady stuff. Divisional weekend thoughts on the board. AFC, NFC, the impending suspension and perhaps dismissal of Alex Cora on the table as well. All of it to your phones after Murray's 90-second update. He'll get you updated what happened today in Major League Baseball. It is significant. And then your thoughts on the backside. No spot.
Looking for a place to eat that has a little something for everyone? Come to Route 1 Grillhouse in Saugus. The most mouth-watering dishes, such as their ribs, steak tips, seafood, and pizzas. Wash it down with their extensive martini list and large selection of draft beer. Route 1 Grillhouse has a private function room that accommodates up to 70 guests for any function. This is the spot for you and your friends as the weather gets warmer with their outdoor seating. Come on in to the family-owned Route 1 Grillhouse in Saugus, the perfect place to be.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, brand new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, and all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. I don't know what you're waiting for. Go to FanDuel.com/Hardy. Make your first bet an automatic win with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAMBLER.
WGAM 1234.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code WBZMASS and receive up to $1,000 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions.
21 years of age or older to wager. Massachusetts only. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Play it smart from the start with GameSense. GameSenseMA.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-327-5050 or visit GamblingHelplineMA.org in partnership with MGM Springfield.